Columbia Morning on News Talk 1400 KFRU. We get carried away talking about things off the air, but we'll come back to the subject at hand here, and then if we have time later, we can go back to the other ones. The Saturday Night Live show has always spoofed, ever since the beginning when Chevy Chase was on there, has always spoofed presidents. And if you can remember back, President Gerald Ford at that point in time, he had stumbled, I believe, coming out of an airplane. And so forever then he was associated with Saturday Night Live, Chevy Chase tripping and making fun of Gerald Ford. So I think this is kind of an interesting take on what happened Saturday Night Live in the 1976 presidential election. This would be post-Gerald Ford. A new voice enters campaign politics. It's written by William Horner and Heather Carver. Now, Bill Horner is the, I got to look at this, teaching professor of political science at MU. And then his wife, Heather Carver, is a chair of the MU Theater Department. Welcome to you. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Great, thanks
for having us.
Yes.
Now, tell me the origin of the idea for this book.
So the origin actually was I ran across something online probably, I don't know, at least 10 years ago that made this sort of unsubstantiated claim that Saturday Night Live had influenced the outcome of the 1976 presidential election. And to me, that seemed like a question worth investigating and seeing if there was any way to support an assertion like that.
So the election was between, back in 76, refresh people's memory.
So it was Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter.
That was the first one that I voted in, I think. I think that was the first one. I think I just missed the 72 by a few months.
Well, it was a very close election, and of course very unusual because Gerald Ford was unelected as vice president and unelected as president, but he was the incumbent president in 76. And so, and Jimmy Carter was a unique candidate too. It was just after both parties had changed their nomination rules, so Carter really truly was a guy most of the country had never heard from that came
out of nowhere
to get the nomination.
Peanut farmer from Plains, Georgia.
Right. Yeah.
So now, are there videos or whatever it is that you would call those of all the shows back there of 1976, well, Saturday Night Live?
Well, what was great is but also the very idea that these two things happened at the same time.
The first season of
Saturday Night Live and the election at the same time. That's really what got me excited as well about the book. And so you are able to get things archived. Bill did a lot of work.
Well, but in answer to the episodes question, they're on Hulu.
Everything's
that whole first five seasons is on Hulu.
I thought that they probably were someplace. Yeah. Those are, you go back and you watch those. Those were fun shows to watch. If my memory is right, though, well, I should ask you this. Does it spoil the, I'll ask it a different way. Can you reach a conclusion about whether in your minds the Saturday Night Live program impacted the results of that election?
Well, if we just said one answer, maybe people wouldn't read the book.
That's what I started to ask you, but I stopped. Now I'm saying, you don't have to tell me what you concluded, but do you feel confident that you have a conclusion on that?
Yes. Yes. So here's the problem. And so we have sort of two schools. One of the reasons this was fun for us to work on together is because, you know, it's hard to imagine a project where you could bring theater and political science into a project, except so much of politics seems to have become theater, right? And actually has for centuries there's been an element
Absolutely.
Of theater. So we have sort of two, we've wedded, no pun intended, two theoretical takes here. And so we use both of those to make the argument that we make about the impact of Saturday Night Live on that election.
And pardon the pun with setting the stage, but but it really was set, really the things in 1976, having network be so dominant compared to today, having people really, if they were, you know, the idea of live theater on television, right? That they're watching something that the people could break into laughter any moment and it was real, just like attending the theater itself. Those kinds of things made the show very popular, made people want to talk about the issues and just have fun poking fun at candidates, which people have been doing forever.
If you watched all those episodes from 1976, then you know time after time Chevy Chase did trip and fall. I mean, that was a part that I think started the show many weeks, because I was watching it back then, and And so that is the lasting impression. And that was poking fun at Gerald Ford. But I think I remember a lot of fun at the expense of Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yes.
There was, in fact, a great deal of fun. Dan Aykroyd did Jimmy Carter on the show. And, you know, it was very different. They had very different approaches. Chevy Chase did, and we interviewed Aykroyd. We did not get a chance to interview Chevy Chase, unfortunately. Although he's written a lot about, there's a biography of him that was written with his cooperation, so that he's written some about it. But he was hard. He was elusive. In our interview with Dan Aykroyd that we did, I mean, he talked about the difference. You know, Chevy Chase essentially, and Aykroyd wasn't critical, but he did basically no preparation for doing Chevy Chase. I mean, all he did was...
All he had to do was fall.
Because he had been doing the falling routine even before he did it as Ford. And so so that's all he did was fall. Whereas Aykroyd really made an effort to sound like Carter. He made an effort, for the most part, to look like Carter, although he had a mustache that he refused to shave.
So, I can remember that.
Yeah.
But what's so interesting is that these are the things that people remember. Mm-hmm. And Ford was actually quite athletic. I mean, it was really against a lot of who he was. He was a skier. He was, well, football. I mean, right. You know,
he
talk
was
about
a football player in Michigan.
Really impressive.
Or was he a cheerleader? Was he the?
I mean, he was a player.
Lineman.
Yeah. So to have somebody who was so athletic have, of course, he did have the fall that they made fun of. But overall, Ford was not, you know, really a clumsy, bumbling person. But he had gotten this reputation earlier amongst people, and people also made fun of sort of his Midwesternness and his naivete. I mean, you can. Yeah. You know,
I'm just going to say, you may be thinking of, I think George W. Bush was a Yell leader.
There you go,
a
the Yell leader. That's who I was confusing him with. Yeah. There's something in, and by the way, again, for our listeners, Bill Horner and Heather Carver are here. They are husband and wife, and they're the co-authors of Saturday Night Live in the 1976 presidential election, A New Voice Enters Campaign Politics. It was a new voice back then. You were describing this a moment ago, and this was kind of something that was unique at that point in time. I guess a follow-up question to that observation would be, I think some of that uniqueness has been stripped away right now, even though Saturday Night Live had a great year last year, and that is carried over to this year because of the presence of Donald Trump and then Alec Baldwin being able to do such a good job of lampooning him. But would you answer yes or no to this? It has changed than what it was 41 years ago or 40 years ago in 1976.
Oh, yes. It has certainly changed. And you should not throw it to me for that. You've got a bigger answer.
So I would say, yeah, absolutely it has changed. And I think if we were to, if we're just taking the last season and this season specifically, I mean, they're doing now a lot of just, and Saturday Night Live has always kind of been ripped from the headlines, but they're just sort of repeating things that have been happening in the news, in the sketches, especially these first three episodes this season.
I'm thinking leading up to the election a year ago, how it didn't impact the results. But when did Alec Baldwin start doing? When did he unveil his Trump character? Was that pre-election?
So he started. So we've actually been working on this.
We're actually
at work on another project.
I thought you were.
During the primary campaign, so that would be, so this current season is season 43. That might make it easier shorthand. 42 was the general, season 42 was the general election in the first few months of Trump's presidency. And then season 41 was the primary campaign. So in primary campaign, they started with Taryn Killam, who's no longer on the cast. And then it switched to Daryl Hammond, who was a longtime cast member and now is the Don Pardo of the show. He's the voiceover announcer for the
Hammond did somebody else when he was a regular of that show.
He did Bill Clinton.
Clinton.
He did
Clinton.
Al Gore.
Yeah.
He did lots and lots of people. So Alec Baldwin took over as Trump in the first episode of season 42. So the general election campaign onward, it's been Alec Baldwin. So starting in October, like October 1st of 2016, it's been Alec Baldwin.
But, you know, you've also got people like the Daily Show and was good with Jon Stewart, but now Trevor Noah. And then also what they're doing on shows like Seth Meyers and also Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, kind of laid into that real pointed commentary about politics, and Jimmy Fallon really laid into that. But I mean, you've got all those other sources now that are doing the same thing. Plus, you've got other shows on Comedy Central and others who are doing what Saturday Night Live was breaking ground doing back in the late 40s.
Right.
Did you find anything in a kind of like if you're looking at that lineage back, like to laugh in also? Did I mean, you ever look at laugh in and think about what they were doing also with politicians?
Sure. So, so our first draft of this book was over 1,000 pages.
We had laugh in. We had the Smothers Brothers.
Sure, I mean, there's
a lot going on.
So, and we went all the way back and looked at Ernie Kovacs in the 50s and Sid Caesar in the 50s. And so we've got all of that. And we were kindly, you know, guided
told
by
to
our
shorten
editor
it up,
at the press that perhaps this was more than anyone would ever read in one setting.
Also, sometimes you have to get kind of, you know, something that annoys you out there to get going on something. And for me, I have to tell you, I got really irritated that some people were trying. They were writing a lot about Colbert and Stewart and saying that. Just sort of saying Saturday Night Live is sort of a weak form of satire. And that really got under my skin because Saturday Night Live is long form improvisational comedy, sketch comedy. It's on purpose. It has the live audience in the studio. They really are working from a theatrical area, and nobody was really acknowledging that.
I think you're exactly right, and especially last year with Sean Spicer stuff has been hilarious.
Absolutely.
And that is theater.
Yes.
I mean, that is true theater. Yes. And when Melissa McCarthy comes out as him or was doing that last year, that was terrific.
Yes.
And then even some of the things, I don't know if you saw last week's or not, when they had the Saturday Night Live actress who played Kellyanne Conway, and she was in The Great as they did a spoof of the horror movie It.
Yeah.
That was terrific also. Those are produced almost theatrical level type things.
Yes, and people are absolutely tuning in because of that liveness. Uh-huh. That really is important part of the entire experience, right? And even though, of course, now people can watch it later on, you know, Hulu and various YouTube. On YouTube.
Yeah.
There still is something about that live notion of we're all in this together as a community watching. We're a part of this.
What did you find in 1976 leading up to that election between Ford and Carter? As far as the news update, was Chevy Chase doing the news update at that point in time?
He was.
How does it compare to what they do now with Michael Che and, oh, Lord, I've forgotten the name
Colin
of the other.
Jost.
Colin Jost.
Yep.
How did it compare?
So I will tell you, I think at the moment they've got one of the best sets of people, you know, one of the best situations with Weekend Update they've had in years and years and years and years. I think that Jost and Che are really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this fascinating, these running commentaries with each other, switching, passing back and forth to each other that is unlike anything really that you've seen on Weekend Update before. And they've just got great chemistry with each other. The Chevy Chase stuff is, you know, part of it is it's 40 years ago television technology. So that, you know, when they do, you know, when they chroma key stuff in, it looks not great.
Dated.
It looks dated. They had really cutting edge stuff. The formula is the same. They are taking an amusing satirical, and Weekend Update's the most satirical part of SNL. I mean, a lot of the rest of it is parody more than satire, so the jokes are, I mean, it's good material in the Chevy Chase stuff, but I'm really impressed. And I think, I don't know what Heather thinks, but Kay and Jost are.
I think so, too.
I also think I'm a huge Tina Fey fan. And I think that when she was a writer for that show, it took a lot
and
of.
And a Weekend Update.
And a Weekend Update.
There seems to be
a lot of
Tina Fey was good.
Turn.
And I liked when Seth Meyers was doing it also. I liked all of those. I think they each have their own style. I'll tell you what they have now, Jost and Che, though, as you referred to a minute ago, as just the exasperation level of saying, you know what, this stuff is happening. We don't need to say much. I mean, there's an exasperation level, I think, of a lot of comedians right now saying, how absurd can this grow before people start getting the joke is on them in a way? Let me ask you something. In the article that Jordan Yont wrote about your book, And it says down here that you turn to, is it schema? What is it?
Schema theory.
That's to me, we need to do another hour on that. The idea that people create mental shortcuts to help process information. I think now, more than ever, there's evidence of that in just the way people are supporting certain things and apologizing for certain things, their opinions about certain things. I thought that is probably 110% true.
Yeah, I think so too. And the way we discuss it in the book is that, I mean, if you want to talk about the influence of Saturday Night Live, part of it is that for a lot of people, whatever Saturday Night Live has done about somebody becomes part of their permanent picture of that person, right? So most people, if you ask them about Ford, whether they were alive then and paying attention or not, or they've learned about Ford since then, the first thing I'll think is he wasn't very smart, and B, he was awfully clumsy.
And he was both. He was smart and not clumsy.
And not clumsy. But so that impression comes, other comedians made fun of Ford, but that predominantly is, you know, you mentioned the difference, one of the differences between Saturday Night Live then and now being all the other shows that are on.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience is different, right? A good night for Saturday Night Live is 8 or 9 million viewers now. They were drawing 35 and 40 million viewers in 1976. And so
amazing.
So you could really make the argument that a huge chunk of the country was watching that impression, and it formed that, you know, their picture. And so they have this mental shortcut of Ford. You know, they immediately jump to that image of Ford.
Yeah, indeed. So, yeah. I mean, now the image, also one of the weaker images than that, though, is Tina Fey doing Sarah Palin. I mean, that's still an image of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
About how uncanny they look alike.
Yeah.
They are.
Well, and a lot of people felt like they did a sketch where Katie Couric interviewed Sarah Palin, and they did that on the show, and the people thought that they just used the exact transcript, and they didn't. They made their own, but a lot of people thought that it was just exactly what the
interview. That would have been the one where Couric asked her about reading newspapers.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
yeah.
That sticks in your mind. Well. Oh, we're going to be out of time pretty quickly here. When's your book out? Where's it at? Things like that.
Well, it should be in bookstores everywhere, but it's not. It doesn't come out for a few more weeks.
In
fact,
we
emailed with the publisher just yesterday, so we could give you a specific date. But it's supposed to be on Amazon. I think it says December 1st.
Saturday Night Live in the 1976 presidential election. By the way, your picture there with Garrett Morris.
Oh.
You know, I love, you know, when I think of him, I think of him doing, I think it was during, well, he would say baseball, been Betty, Betty Good.
Yes.
That was hilarious.
Yep. He was wonderful. And he wanted mostly to talk about his theater career in New York with me. I got all sorts of great material about really important productions he had been in. And we had a great time with that interview.
But that's the thing you could talk a lot about is these performers have impromptu. They're actors. I mean, really do hard work.
Yeah.
And no wonder at the end of the week, they are just wrung out. And then they have to look at doing it again the next week.
He was a fascinating guy. He started off his first show business job, he told us, which we hadn't even been aware of. And we thought we had done. Huh. He was a backup singer for Harry Belafonte.
Yeah. Oh,
that was his
really?
Break. Yeah.
Yeah, that was his breakout.
He did sing once in a while on the show.
Yeah.
But he was able to travel the world.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh gosh.
It was great.
We look forward to your book being released. Again, it will be called, or it is called, not will be, Saturday Night Live in the 1976 presidential election. Bill Horner and Heather Carver, the authors of that. We'll have to talk again because these are good topics. And they make us laugh about things that sometimes we want to cry about.
So,
thank you.
Indeed.
Thank you.